your Bibles tonight. Have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy. Amen. This was supposed to be the 40 plus service. If you're under 40, we welcome you tonight. Amen. Glory. God is going to be good. How many know that? A sermon entitled Revival or a Funeral. See, revival is not a mystery. How many know that? It is God's answer towards a heart that is hungry and thirst for him. It is people praying, believing God. Every great revival that has gone on is because people began to lay themselves down, amen, on their knees, and they cried out to God. Here in America, how many know that God is moving? But if we are not careful, Jesus will lift his spirit as he did with Samson. America will continue to move forward. And just like Samson, amen, where he came and he said, just as before, when they tie me, I'm going to come up and I'm going to break the strands. But yet he didn't know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. See, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 42, one verse 20. Ezekiel, amen, chapter 42. The Word of God says, he measured it on the four sides. It had a wall all around, 500 cubits long and 500 wide to separate the holy areas from the common. In other translations, it says from the profane place. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, God, we come to you. We believe, God, that you want to, God, ignite something in our hearts. Let that fire burn tonight, Father. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. See, the sanctuary tonight, it represents that which is holy. It represents that which is sanctified, that which is set apart, that which is dedicated unto God and unto his service. A profane, amen, or common is that which is irrelevant, that which is ungodly, that which is vile, amen, that has been defiled. A common or profane, it stands, amen, there to oppose everything that God represents. See, the Holy Spirit, amen, is making it very clear tonight that we cannot be mixed in, amen, mixed in with those things. There has to be a separation in our lives for God to breathe and bring revival. There's no room for a lukewarm, half in, half out, half-baked Christianity. Revelations 3, 14 through 17 says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know the works that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. How many know that when God says these words upon our lives, we are in trouble? When God begins and says, you are lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Amen. This is clear, amen, that God is not happy with what is going on in America today. See, God is drawing a line. He is separating the saints from the ain'ts. I don't want to be on the ain't part, folks. Once again, Ezekiel 42:20. He measured it on the four sides. It had a wall all around, 500 cubits long and 500 wide, to separate the holy areas from the commonplace. See, there is, a separation between the church and everything that is going on outside of the church. There has to be. We cannot let, the things outside of the church influence what's going on inside the church. There has to be a difference between those that profess and those that possess. Between liars and those that are truthful. Between those, that are crucified and those that are satisfied. Between those that are undecided. Can I tell you? There's too many people that are undecided. And those that are completely sold out. The book of Amos, chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what do you see? I love it when God, told the prophets of old, what do you see? Amen. Amos replied, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. God was not playing around. See, what kind of church would it have to be for God to say, I am not going to pass over them no more? It's happening in many of places today. Whether mega churches or whether small churches, the angel of the Lord is marking his people. He's holding sacred those things, amen, which are truth, which are, amen, those that have God's word in their hearts, to where people are watering down the gospel message. And can I tell you, people are dying all over America, and people are going to hell because the pastor just wants an increase in numbers, an increase in finances, but does not want to preach the truth. How many know that that's happening all over America today? Churches are being filled. I read an excerpt, amen, the other day, that the church, amen, is preaching, amen, but yet people are still going to hell. We're not talking about, amen, those that are outside of the church. The excerpt said those that are in the church. See, when God begins to mark his church, he sets a clear boundary between it. And God is trying to say, amen, towards his church that they will never know my presence in the midst again, because they bowed and they are continually bowing their knees onto another God. God was saying, I'm through with hypocrisy, mediocrity. People are playing church, and nobody wants to get serious. Or maybe not everybody, or maybe nobody, but many people today in the church all across America, they don't want to be serious. See, the church, amen, that doesn't catch this. The church, amen, that represents God faithfully and honestly, what is going to happen to them is they are going to get buried. The church, amen, this hour does not want to hear truth. How many know that? All they want to do is, Pastor, just rub me and make me feel good. Can I tell you, I don't want to feel responsible for, amen, God coming down and saying whatever he's going to say to you because you wanted me to just pat you on the back and say everything is going to be okay when things are not. See, God is not going to bury you. How many know that? But the world will bury you. He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. See, Jesus said, how many know that? We just did the hard sayings of Jesus. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. How many know that's rough? See, a holy, a church, amen, that doesn't catch fire is going to be, church, a powerless church. It is going to be, amen, a church that is not doing nothing. Schools, places all over. How many know that they are recruiting? Listen to me. People are recruiting, amen, people. And don't think that hell, amen, does not have a target, not only on you, but but on your kids and your kids' kids. See, the demons and the demonic, they've made a decision that if they cannot kill them, amen, through abortion, amen, then they will confuse them and destroy their lives. Simply because they don't want to stand up for righteousness anymore. See, a church that is on fire does not fear the demonic. How many know that? The demonic fear a Holy Spirit filled church, because that church is on fire. See, Pharaoh, he showed this, when he brought the Israelites under the bondage and slavery. Exodus 1, amen, the book of Exodus 1. Exodus 1, 9 through 11. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happens in the event of war that they join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. See, instead of Pharaoh it was the devil, in a sense, saying to his demons, the people against God, about his church. He was saying, that we have to keep them blinded. We cannot let them discover that they have more power than us. We've got to keep them beat up and beat down, depressed, discouraged. We've got to force them, to worship at a unknown or other altar and agree with everything that we are telling them. And if not, listen to what Pharaoh said. We have to threaten them that we will destroy them. Can I tell you, the devil doesn't have to come. All he has to do is speak the words. And lukewarm people will be hindered by what he speaks. See, there is tonight no gray area. Jesus said, either you are with me or you are against me. He also said, if you're not gathering with me, then you are scattering abroad. See, I believe tonight that everything that is going on for a purpose, because God wants to wake up his people. How many know that? Things are happening all over the world. Things are going on, amen, and the people of God have to choose and say, I am going to live for God. Leonard Ravenhill said four things. He said, if Jesus preached the same message ministers preach today, he would have never been crucified. Secondly, he said, let the fire go out in the boiler room of the church, and the place will still look smart and clean, but it will be cold. The prayer room is the boiler room, amen, for our spiritual life. Number three, that world outside, there is not waiting for a new definition of Christianity. It is waiting for a new demonstration of Christianity. And number four, the church right now has more fashion than passion. Who are we tonight? They're going to have the races. They're going to have all these horse races. The very first one is in May. Everybody comes in, hats all the way to the ceiling. It's no longer about the horse race. Now it's about how we look. If this generation, folks, does not see a great revival, then this generation will see a great funeral of the church as the church stands today. Because there is no middle ground. How many know that there is no middle ground? Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones, God restores his nation. If God did it before, how many know that God can do it again? But there has to be a change of not only amen mindset, but we have to be able to link our hearts with God. See, Maribel and I, we dated for a year or so, and it was long distance. How many know that God is not looking for a casual, long-distance relationship? Amen? God is looking for men and women that will see the fire, who will be passionate, and who will seek his face. The two men on the road to Emmaus said, did not our hearts burn within us? See, tonight, it is the hour that God is searching, amen, for people that are going to seek him. Will you seek him tonight? Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. Revival or funeral? Wherever God finds hunger in his church, there will be a great revival. Where there is no hunger, there is a funeral. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will know God. God tonight is seeking people, folks, that will seek him passionately. God is searching our hearts tonight. God is looking. Bible says that he walks to and fro. God is looking. Can he find you to be faithful? Can he find you to be that person that starts a fire where, the whole community will get saved, where the whole, place will get saved, where people, will get on fire for God? Can God see that in you and I? Because God did it before. He can do it again and again and again. But can he find it in you and I tonight? Maybe you're here in this place and you're not saved. You're not saved tonight. You're not right with God. If the gospel is not preached, then people perish. People don't perish for anything else. The Bible says that people perish because of the lack of knowledge. God is seeking you desperately tonight. God is trying to reach you passionately. And you're here in this place and you're not saved. You're here in this place and you're not right with God. Or maybe you're here in this place and you're away from God. You once gave your life. You were on fire. But that fire dwindled down. Now you are used to be of what you were before. If that is you in this place tonight, would you simply do one thing for me? Would you simply lift up your hands? All I want to do is pray for you. That's you in this place. You don't know Jesus, or maybe you are away from God, but you want to come back to him tonight. God sees that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else in this place tonight? God is looking at you tonight. Would that be you? Simply do one thing. Lift up your hand. Lift it up. Lift it high. Would you look at me? You honest? Would you come? Jesse? It's either going to be revival or a funeral. God tonight wants to do something powerfully. We need Jesus. The Holy Spirit needs to move. God needs to breathe. He needs a vessel to be able to use. The gospel all over America is being watered down, folks. Just give me a patsy Christianity. That's what I want. Don't tell me nothing else. Just let me feel good, Christianity. Don't come over and challenge me. Can I tell you, I don't want that Christianity. A Christianity that is watered down. I don't want a Christianity, folks, where the gospel is not preached the way the gospel is supposed to be preached. Because people are not going to be set free by watered down Christianity. They're just going to be made to feel good. I want to be set free. My life was set free October 20th of 1999. And my life, amen, has been used by God. Because, amen, when the gospel was preached to me, folks, the gospel was preached directly towards me. God was challenging me. God, amen, was telling me, amen, this is what you need. You're broken, busted, and disgusted. You cannot continue to walk in those same steps. And my life was challenged. Amen. And that is the only way that we are going to be able to see people, amen, rise up. If we are able to see the work of God established, the altar is open. Come, lay hold of God tonight. Oh, roba ba ba rando lo shiara la ba. God, we love you. God, we thank you tonight, Jesus. God, we love you in this place, oh God. Pharaoh said, if we confuse them, Pharaoh said, if we come down and bring the taskmasters, people that are going to make it difficult for us, then surely they will give themselves. Can I tell you, that's what has happened. Amen. That's what is happening. I don't want to live that Christianity. I love the fact that God challenged me to rise up. Because if I had had a watered down Christianity, I lived, amen, in the realm of Catholicism my whole life. There's no challenge. There's no challenge. You can come and do what you want. I had a gentleman one time tell me, that's your religion, that's not mine. Can I tell you? I don't want to live in a religion or a Christianity where the gospel is so watered down that you can't, it's unrecognizable. I don't know about you folks. I want to be stirred. And I love the fact that the Holy Spirit stirs my life. You know that in Houston, some time ago, they had a mayor that every preacher in Houston had to come and bring their notes to the mayor. Because he didn't want a Christian message to be preached that was going to be preaching the truth. He wanted a message that was just going to just rub them down and make them listen. I don't want to make you feel good, folks. Because guess what? I am responsible for the message you hear. Amen. I am responsible. God's going to hold me accountable. And I don't want God to say, why did you say those things? Why did you not preach my word? I want God to move mightily and powerfully. And the only way that he can move is if our hearts are continually stirred and the Holy Spirit moves and challenges us. We're going to have a great time. Amen. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be stirred during this conference. My prayer is that as we are gone, that your hearts would still continue to be challenged and stirred. Amen. So we had two birthdays. One is today. And one was last week. Amen. So we're going to sing them happy birthday. Amen to them both.